Good morning. Welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. It's such a joy, honor, and privilege to be in the context of worship with you. I want to invite you to quickly come on in and grab a seat. We're about to get started. I want to invite Jan LeDuc at this time to come up with the Keys family. She's going to share some very good news with us regarding the wonderful things Habitat for Humanity is doing throughout the community. So give Jan a warm welcome as she comes up and invite the Keys family. Here you go, Jan.
Good morning. Oh, you want me to do that? We do have the mission box this morning, but what I really would like to do is thank everyone who has ever worked on a Habitat house. You've all done a wonderful job in construction and in financing. Thank you. We are going to be building another house. We're starting in April, and this is the Key family, Shanitria and Calvin Key and their two sons. What I would like to say to you is keep up the good work. Anyone who wants to know more about Habitat, I'm here most every Sunday, and I don't want to take the Keys' time for them to talk to you about their experience with Habitat. So if you need any more information about Habitat, please see me any Sunday. After this morning service, I had several people come up. They've already signed to work on the new house. And we'd love to have any of you who are willing to work either on construction, in the restore, or in the office. Habitat thanks you for so many years of continued service. And here are the Keys, Shanitria and Calvin Key.
Good morning. First of all, I would like to say thank you. This is my husband, Calvin, my son, Calvante, and Catavius. We also have two girls, but they're not here with us today. Habitat means so much to us because they gave us the opportunity to be able to own our own home, but with the help of you guys. The reason why it means so much to us is because we have two kids with sickle cell. And right now we're living in an apartment. You can't control what goes on in an apartment. You can't control what goes on around the apartment. We're dealing with mold issue. We're dealing with people that smokes. And if anybody don't know about sickle cell is a blood disease. Your red blood counts is extremely low. The blood is shaped like a crescent moon. So it always pokes them in their veins at certain times as it travels through. It leads them to have pain crisis. And their blood level is already low. And when you're breathing in mold and smoke and just bad oxygen, that is killing their blood cells quicker than it is on its own. I want my kids to be around for a very long time. They give them maybe 35, they may see 40, but it's normally 35. But I know with God's help in a healthier environment, my kids will be able to be around much longer. So even to them, even to go off to college and come back home, knowing they have a home to come home to, that would mean so much to my family. So once again, from the bottom of my heart, I would like to say thank you to all of you all because I know you were sent from God to help us, and we do appreciate it.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Beautiful, beautiful. And now for our Trinity Liturgy. Welcome home. Why are we here? Please prepare your hearts and your minds as we worship God together.
Stand and join in the singing of our opening hymns.
Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered unto Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. It will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Now we have the joy of the sacrament of baptism, and Miss Elizabeth will lead us in that. Jackson Joseph Holt.
We'd like to invite the Holt family and the Dominich family up for Jackson's baptism. And Tyler and Gavin, his big brothers, are going to help with the baptism this morning.
Oh, good. Good. There we go. Oh, perfect. Man, I love those bow ties, guys. Nice to have you here this morning. Yeah. And this is the third time is the charm, as it were. So you know the routine, but it's never old. Do you acknowledge Jesus as your Lord and Savior, do you? Do you promise as God gives you grace to lead a life pleasing to God and a good example for your child and your children? And will you rear them under the ministry of the church so they can come to this deep and wonderful relationship with Jesus, will you? Is Tyler's going to announce the? Yeah, go ahead and announce the name of your brother, would you?
Jackson Joseph Holt.
Good job. Let's hear it for Tyler. Thank you. And Gavin, is it Gavin?
Yeah.
Gavin, you're holding the water, right? And I'm going to pray with the water. Dear God, we thank you for the water, and we remember Jesus' baptism. And we remember Gavin and Tyler's baptism. And we thank you for the gift of water and what it means. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty. This is Jackson Joseph Holt. Jackson Joseph Holt, we baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's blessings be upon you always. Can I take you? Will you come to me? Maybe? Oh. God, we give you thanks for Jackson Joseph, for all he is, for his special name, for his namesake, which means the world to all of us. And now we bless him in your name. Dear friends, would you welcome Jackson Joseph Holt into our congregation? Look, they're applauding. Yeah. They want to say these words to you. We welcome you into our family of faith. With God's help, we will support you with active love, Christian education and nurturing, and opportunities to express your faith and mission. May God bless you always. Amen. Good job. Are we going to sing? Oh, good.
Beautiful. Friends, if you feel comfortable, please grab the hand of your neighbor as we go to the Lord in prayer. And remember the names on the screens for those who are in hospice care, rehab, and also within the hospitals. So let's bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Gracious and loving God, I'm reminded of Psalm 27 that tells us, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" God, we boldly approach your throne of grace in this time of need, and we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for allowing us to be a part of your blessed creation. And God, as a part of your creation, Lord, we just respond in worship and prayer and praise. God, we honor you and we adore you. God, we thank you for this great church, Trinity United Methodist Church. We thank you for the joys of weddings, such as what we experienced yesterday, and the joys of baptisms, O Lord, of where we are included into the family of God. God, we thank you for the ministries that make up this church, and we thank you, O Lord, for how your Holy Spirit is at work, even through our outreach. We don't take it for granted, God. We're grateful and we're so thankful for all of what you've called us to be a part of. God, we thank you for our great leader, Dan Johnson. We pray for the mission team in Guatemala that you will just cover them in your grace and protection and care and bring them back home safely, O Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Now, O God, the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray, we pray it now together on one accord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, handbells. It's great to see all of you, and we welcome you. If you're visiting among us, we invite you to come to the Information Center after the service. A couple other quick things. Next Sunday, 38 of us leave for Israel on Sunday morning. And David will be preaching next Sunday. And then the following Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, a very meaningful service. And the following Sunday, I think this is the 17th, a new friend of mine, Bishop Lopes from Brazil, will be preaching here. He's on the board with me at Asbury. Dynamic, wonderful, powerful preacher. And I'm glad he's going to be able to come, and I hope you'll be here to hear him. His English is outstanding, and he's just a very dynamic pastor and preacher. Also look at the inside about the Lent that's coming up. And you notice I'm wearing this sweater vest with the gators on it. You remember, some of you remember a few years ago when we made the run towards the two-time national championship, and we put a basketball hoop over here. Remember that? And the kids made baskets. I think it's time to bring the hoop out, don't you? Would you stand and greet the people around you and say, how about those gators?
You may be seated. As you all are aware, the Mission Box supports Habitat for Humanity, so let's please keep them in our thoughts and prayers. At this time, let us pray. Gracious God, we do thank you for Habitat for Humanity and the work that they do throughout the world. And we thank you for the testimony that came through the Key family. We ask your blessing upon them, as well as your blessings upon this offering. We thank you for the gift, as well as the giver. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Today, Sunlight will be singing If You're Out There by John Legend. And when I heard this song, I think it's a call to all the other Christians in the world. If you're out there, come join with me and we can do great things to end all the hate and hurt going on in the world. In Matthew 21:21, Jesus said, I tell you the truth. If you have faith and don't doubt, you can do things like this and much more. You can even say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. So I think this song is saying, if all Christians come together, we can change the world. And now singing the solo is Kaylin Ayala.
Wherever you stand, I'm calling every destroy hunger, we can conquer hate. Put down the odds and raise your voice, we're joining hands today. I was looking for a song to sing. I searched for a leader, but the leader was me. We were looking for the
Sunlight, awesome. I love that song. David said, oh man, I like this song. And wow, great song. I title the message today as one of the hardest things any of us has to or gets to do, and that is forgive. I'm not sure why forgiveness is so hard, sometimes so hard. Let's look at the text. I want to begin with Matthew 18, verses 21 to 35. Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times. Peter, you know, he was thinking he was doing pretty well by up to seven times. And Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. And then he told this story. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began to the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold, this huge amount that was impossible for the guy ever to repay. This guy was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, had compassion on him, canceled the debt and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins, just a tiny little bit. He grabbed him by the throat and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. He said the same thing that the guy had said to the king, but he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Wow. I think the message is really clear. overwhelmingly clear. If you want God to forgive you, you need to forgive others. If you've been forgiven, then you need to forgive others. But the question is, and our question is, why is it often very hard to forgive? Sometimes this scripture, I think, has been used to make people who already feel that it's really hard for them to forgive somebody else, people are already struggling with that, make them feel even worse, without understanding why it's often so hard to forgive, or what are the dynamics causing us to feel some hesitancy about forgiving. This scripture is often used, and I've done it, taken out of context to try to force a blanket sort of unthinking forgiveness. You got to forgive. If you want God to forgive you, you got to forgive. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. The scripture is clear. But, you know, I think it's more than that. I think it's deeper than that. Let's look at the context. Let's look at the preceding six verses, if you'll bring them up, Jay. I often forget about these. I often don't acknowledge that they're there or even aware that they're there. I'd forgotten they were there. But let's look at what happened before Peter asked this question and Jesus told the story about forgiveness. If a fellow believer hurts you, he doesn't say forgive them. Go and tell him, confront, engage, work it out between the two of you. If he listens, you've made a friend. The goal is to restore. But notice, it's not forgive, it's confront. If he won't, notice all the pronouns are he, because we're guys are the only ones who screw up here. I'm just kidding. If he won't listen, take one or two others along so that the presence of witnesses will keep things honest. And try again. If he still won't listen, tell the church. If he won't listen to the church, you'll have to start over with from scratch, confronting with the need for repentance and offer again God's forgiving love. Now, some of you I know are a lot like me. You really don't like to confront people, right? Anybody here really love confronting other people? You're probably strange if you do. Most of us don't like to confront. It's easier to be passive, to just kind of let it go, to swallow hard, to absorb it. But people who know human dynamics know the truth of this scripture. You're better off to go and engage. It's smart to go and engage. Notice and say, hey, John, hey, Sally, help me understand. That thing you did on Friday, that was troublesome to me. And there are ways you can figure out how to do that, but to avoid a confrontation probably isn't always helpful. The goal is to restore. As I say, most of us don't like to confront, so we are passive. And so instead of confronting, we try to forgive when we're really seething inside. And we need to sort that out. We need to address the wrong and address the wrongdoer. So whenever you talk about forgiveness, keep these first six verses in mind. Address the wrongdoer, especially in the case of abuse. Some of us were talking in our Wednesday Bible study about this whole notion, this particular passage. And one person suggested, I think very wisely, that in cases of abuse, it may not be appropriate or even healthy to forgive. Not to contradict Jesus. But it may not be healthy to forgive, at least not for a while. And maybe not for a long while. And certainly it's not wise to rush or hurry into forgiveness. It takes time. And a different image for forgiveness was letting go. Sort of letting go. Sometimes we can do that because it just takes it away from us. To forgive, somehow in our mind we think we need to bring close. And in some situations, we just can't do that. We aren't ready to do that. It might be inappropriate to do that. It might be unwise to do that. And there's a difference between wanting to forgive but not being quite able to forgive on the one hand, or just flat out refusing to forgive on the other hand. Those are very different. The first one's really honest. You know, I know God's forgiven me and I want to forgive somebody else. I'm not there yet. I can't get there. Many of you know the story of Corrie ten Boom. She and her family were Dutch persons. They hid Jewish persons in the time of the Nazi regime and the World War II, and they were found out. She and her sister were put in a concentration camp. Her sister didn't survive. The prison guard was ruthless. After the war was over, Corrie began to speak around the country, around the world, about God and her faith. And at one meeting, a man came up after the meeting to shake her hand, and she recognized him as that prison guard. And she, as he held out his hand, she felt her hand pull back. And she said, God, I can't forgive him. She breathed that and give me your forgiveness. And then she was able to. And sometimes we need maybe for Jesus to forgive persons for us. In my previous church in Titusville, I didn't do a lot of counseling. I don't do a lot of counseling. We have wonderful people in our church who are really good at it. And professionally. But this young woman came to me. She had, was a babysitter for a while in a family, and the father of the family abused her. And she, when she had her own children, I think all of this began to come back. At any rate, she came to me, and over a period of weeks, we talked this through. Very, very, very intense. She was not ready to forgive that man. It would have been a further violation at that point, until she had worked through, until she'd let go, until she had given over some things. I think she eventually came to a place where she could. Some people have suggested rituals, weaving into a cloth the hurts and the wounds and giving that over to Jesus, throwing something away. On Ash Wednesday, sometimes we've taken a piece of paper, written something on there, and bring it up and place it in the cauldron of fire and burn it up. That might be the right image. That might be the right image. But let's come back to this text. Let's not forget that the king forgave the one who owed a huge debt. Let's not forget the point of that, that the king really forgave this insurmountable debt. This wonderful notion of forgiveness, how wonderful it is for you and I to forget, to receive forgiveness. A young man came to me this week. He said, Reverend Dan, I need a new start. I've really done a lot of bad things. I'd like to be baptized. I need forgiveness. And I could say, without a shadow of doubt, you can be forgiven. I mean, and that's exactly what he needed. This debt was so huge. A clean, fresh start. And every one of us in this room, we could stack up our debt that we can't do anything about or enough about, and Jesus has taken it away. Let's not underestimate the power of that. Another guy called me this week, moved from our town to another town. He said, Dan, I've fallen short. I messed up. Did some things I shouldn't. Can my wife and I come see you? It's a beautiful thing to experience forgiveness, isn't it? And a fresh start from God, from Jesus, from other people. But we often see people like this person in the story Jesus tells, that who've received a forgiveness from God and are just mean to other people. And somehow it doesn't translate. We are able to refuse to forgive someone who's hurt us. One of my preacher buddies, Jim Harnish, told about his first church several miles east of here, out in the country. He said he went to this couple's home, and you could feel the tension in the home. They'd been married 35 years. It was tense. They sat on far ends of the couch. And as they began to talk, it all came out. He had messed up early in their marriage. He'd done something he shouldn't have done. He acknowledged it. He apologized. He said he was sorry. He had not done it again. But she would not forgive him. She withheld this. And it embittered her, and it caused the distance to go further and further, just like the man in the story. But why is forgiveness so hard sometimes? I want to suggest a couple of reasons. One, a lot of it depends on the models we've grown up with. If you've never seen your mom or dad offer forgiveness to each other, if you've never seen it modeled, people in your life, parents or other people you honor, say, "I'm sorry," it's going to be tough for you to do that. It's going to be hard. That's a tough one. James Moore, a preacher in Texas, he tells this wonderful story about a fellow named David Leroy. He was 11 years old. His dad had saved up a lot of money. He was a grocer. He's finally saved up enough money to buy a new 1928 Buick. Father didn't need it to go to work. He walked to work, but David Leroy was, they let him drive it around the property occasionally. He loved that Buick. He loved his dad's Buick. One day his mom was going to town and he said, "I'll bring the car up to the house." He went to the garage. He was so excited. He left the door of the car open, and when he backed the car out, ripped the door off. He felt horrible. His mom felt really bad. He said, "You know, your dad just loves this car. You're really going to get it when you get home. I'll do the best to explain the situation to him." So that night his dad came home. They sat down for dinner, except David Leroy didn't have any appetite that night. He stayed away. But he heard his mom tell the story, and his dad say these words, "Yeah, that car is precious to me, but not nearly as precious as David. I know he feels bad, and he said to David, 'I forgive you.'" David went on to be a powerful preacher, and he tells his story often. Do you think he was able to forgive others? Yeah. Because he'd experienced it. He'd experienced it. So the models are important. Sometimes we don't even understand what we're angry about or the nature of the hurt. We haven't sort of sorted that through or figured it out. Last week I mentioned this book by Thomas Long that I used on this question of why. And he tells a story about a young graduate seminary student at the seminary where he was teaching. And in her first congregation, she made a point to go and visit every home in her congregation. I did that myself. Every church I'd been to until I got to Trinity, there were too many people. But she went to every house. She went to every house but one. And one of the officials in the church said, "Well, no need to go there. They're never coming back to our church." She drove up to the house. The wife alone was home by herself. She invited her in. They began to have a conversation. They talked about this. They talked about that. They talked about everything but it. And eventually they talked about it. The wife said, I was vacuuming. My little 2-year-old kind of got out of sight, out of mind. And pretty soon I realized he wasn't near. And I followed where I thought he would be, out of the living room, into the kitchen, out on the patio, into the pool. And I found him. She said, "Our friends at church were very kind. They told us it was God's will." The young minister put her coffee cup down on the table. "Should I touch that or not?" She decided to touch it. Here's what she said. "Your friends at church meant well, but they were wrong. Very wrong. It wasn't God's will. God doesn't will the death of children." Surprisingly, the mother's jaw clenched. Her face reddened. She said in anger, "Well then, who do you blame? Are you blaming me? Are you blaming me for this? Is that what you're saying?" "Oh no, no, I'm not blaming you," the pastor responded. Now on defensive, "I'm not blaming you, I'm not blaming God. God was as grief-stricken by your son's death as you are." But the woman's face remained frozen in rage, and it was clear this conversation was over. As she returned to the church, the young minister kicked herself all around the church. "I shouldn't have touched it. I shouldn't have gone there. I should have left well enough alone. What was I thinking?" But when she got back to her office, there was a message waiting from the wife on her answering machine. Here's what she said. "I don't know where this is going," the trembling recorded voice said, "but my husband and I want you to come out and talk to us about this." For 2 years, listen to this. For 2 years, we've thought God was angry at us. But now we wonder if it's not the other way around. How else could they be when their well-meaning friends said, God did this? They didn't even understand. They had all these depths of emotion, and I just have a feeling that sometimes when it's hard to forgive, there's just a lot going on there. Sometimes we need somebody to help us through that. Sometimes we need the permission of a preacher like this one here. It gets complicated sometimes. Complicated. If you're having a hard time forgiving somebody, do you know why? It's important to sort it out, isn't it? But what a blessed thing to receive somebody's forgiveness or to extend it. Early in my ministry here at Trinity, I deeply hurt and offended somebody who'd been a part of Trinity for a long time. I didn't realize it at the time, but when I found out, I went to his home. I said, "Wow, I'm really sorry. Could you forgive me?" But it was too soon. It was too soon. But over the weeks and months, this person granted me a forgiveness. And now we have this wonderful, wonderful friendship for which I would take nothing. To give forgiveness and to receive forgiveness is a priceless gift. But don't forget about the point of this story. We can reach a point where we receive God's forgiveness but are unwilling to give it to somebody else. But it's about more than just forgiveness, isn't it? It's about receiving God's grace and being willing to extend it. Receiving God's kindness and extending kindness to our spouse, our children, our co-workers. Receiving a new start from God and giving that to others. Do you do that? Do you extend kindness, grace, forgiveness? If you don't, it may be you really haven't processed this first. There's a legend of the monk who one time discovered a priceless stone, a precious jewel, and he put it in his bag and he was walking along and a man came up who was clearly very hungry, and the hungry person said, "I'm starving. Do you have any? Would you have anything for me?" And the monk reached in his pocket, and all he had was this precious stone, and he gave it to the man, worth lots and lots of money. The man took it, thanked him, went off. 3 days later, the man came back, and he had that stone, and he gave it back to the monk. And he said this, "Please give me something more valuable, more precious than this stone. Please give me that which enabled you to give me this precious stone." As we prepare to receive Holy Communion, would you bow with me in prayer? God, this is such a tender topic, forgiveness. On the surface, it seems so simple, but wow, it's a lot more than that. But as we prepare to receive this gift of Holy Communion and celebrate your forgiveness of us, and as we receive your forgiveness, we first want to make our own confession where we've wronged you, maybe another. We ask your forgiveness and give us wisdom and courage to know what we ought to do in relation to others. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you join me in our liturgy? Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly want to listen and learn of him and seek the kingdom of heaven which he brings. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might,
Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed in the highest. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church. You delivered us from slavery to sin and death and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. As we proclaim the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit, O God, on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Ushers, would you come as we prepare to receive the gift of life itself? And if you're new among us, please know that you don't need to be a member of this church. If you'd like to follow Jesus, that's all that's required. If you'll hold the bread and the cup until we can all receive together.
Save and love.
Christ broken for you, take and feed on Him by faith.
The blood of Christ shed for you, the cup of our salvation, drink you now in faith.
Loving God, we give you thanks for the gift of salvation, the gift of forgiveness. Forgive us for our own sometimes reluctance. Lead us to deeper understanding and freedom. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Would you stand and receive the benediction? And may the wonderful love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus, and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.